Now, our World Obesity Day on October 11th promotes practical solutions to end the global obesity crisis. And a review of current evidence lays out a possible path for the prevention and management of childhood obesity in particular. To find out more, we're joined now by Professor Louise Bao, the head of child and adolescent health at Sydney Medical School. Louise, thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning.
Good morning. So what new information have you found in your research regarding obesity?
One of the things that we've done is put together data from quite a lot of different sources. I think we've really reinforced a lot of what we already know. For example, it's common amongst children and young people. Amongst the OECD, Organisation of Economic Cooperation and Development Countries, Australia ranks number 5 of, I think it's about 34 countries, in terms of prevalence of obesity amongst girls. That's not a really great place to be. Admittedly, we're behind New Zealand and the US, but we're ahead of a lot of other countries where we'd like to not be.
That's shocking to hear, actually. And so what are some of the harms child obesity may cause, and how does it kind of differ from adult obesity?
Well, I'm also a paediatrician, so I look after these children each week in a clinic as well. So I'm very familiar with these things. I also research it. But these children, particularly with more severe obesity, do have more likely to have obstructive sleep apnea. It's something that we never saw when I was a young doctor in the 1980s, but we do see a lot of now. And these are children who are sometimes in primary school who need to be on CPAP treatment because of their obesity. There are other reasons why children may have sleep apnea, but we're now seeing many more because of obesity. We're also seeing children in primary school and certainly in high school who've got type 2 diabetes. And again, when I was a young doctor in the 1980s, we never saw it, like it didn't exist. And now we see more and more young people who are affected by a disease that in the past we thought was a disease of middle age and older people. So this is driven by obesity. It's not being driven by other things.
Right. And so what are the major causes of child obesity?
When I'm asked one thing, I say 21st century Australia.
Yep.
It's a whole lot of things that have come together.
Yeah.
Some of these are great things, you know, but we haven't learnt to adapt to our modern society. It's a society where to sit and have passive screen entertainment and to have ready availability of relatively cheap food has become the norm. Our world has really become in some ways somewhat pathological. You have to choose to be active. You have to choose to eat well in a way that perhaps some decades ago we didn't. It was harder to make some of those choices, and I acknowledge that there's always been issues around difficulty accessing food and hunger and so on, but now the cheap food is the poor quality food, and the good quality food remains that which is more expensive. And of course now the world comes to us. We don't have to go out, or kids don't have to go out to have the world come to them. We have screens everywhere, and our world, there are more cars on the road, there's more concerns about pedestrian safety in a way that wasn't the case some decades ago. So kids stay more cocooned, more inside the home than before.
And so are there any effective treatments currently for children who are suffering?
Well, for kids who are already affected by obesity, then we do have quite a bit of evidence to show that treatment can work. And I suppose if people are listening and they're concerned about their child or young person, then I'd encourage them first off to speak to their family doctor. But there's also, there's been a lot of trials showing that family-based lifestyle treatment can be relatively effective with children and young people. And in fact, they're better long-term outcomes than with adults. And that sort of makes sense. If you start earlier in treatment, you're more likely to have better outcomes. And we also know that there are forms of treatment with adolescents around special dietary interventions or even bariatric surgery and some medications that can help. So we do have treatments available. I think the big issue is, first of all, if you are affected by it, seeking help and going to find out about that. If you're in New South Wales, which I think the people listening to 2SER are, then our state government does have a range of publicly available group sessions called Go for Fun, which are for 6 to 13-year-olds. And there's also a really good phone coaching line for people at, from the age of 16 and up called Get Healthy. And they're free for people living in New South Wales. So those sorts of services are good. And if the young person has more severe obesity, then again, through your GP, getting a referral to people who can help with treatment should be, you should try to seek that out. What you don't want to do is just ignore it. But of course, it's not, of course we need to treat people who are affected by obesity. I do that every week. But I'm also passionate about trying to prevent it in the first place.
Exactly, yeah.
And yes. that really requires a lot of, I think, government leadership. And it needs us in the community saying, enough is enough, we've got to turn this around.
Exactly. Well, hopefully we can do that. Thank you so much for your time today on the show, Louise.
That's been a pleasure.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Professor Louise Baugh on the topic of child obesity, as World Obesity Day is approaching on the 11th of October.